This is CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, there we go. There's Ben Sung, Casio, Jungle. Very nice. It is just after 7 o'clock. It is a Friday song. Very, very nice.
The music of Jungle, I got to say, it's probably one of my musical finds in the last 10 years.
Okay, wow. Well, well done.
They have many good songs.
Good for you.
Wow.
Something to add to your weekend.
Never heard of them.
Well, now you have.
Listen, I got a really interesting email from one of our listeners. This is Adrian. So Adrian says, some interesting intel. I live in the same building as Alf Lukau from Alleluia Ministries.
Oh.
Yes.
Ooh, insider.
I'm going to keep the location secret for now because he doesn't... Well, he doesn't want... I don't want to get him into trouble, you know, and people could find out and then go and make his life difficult.
Okay.
His presence is very noticeable in the basement by his collection of expensive cars. Mm-hmm. One Rolls-Royce Dawn, one Bentley Continental Coupe. I'll go through these with George later and find out what they're all worth. One Mercedes S600.
Well, we're already in double-figure millions.
One Range Rover Vogue. The number plates are all AL1 GP, AL2 GP, etc.
Oh.
Alf Lukau.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention the Golf 7 GTI driven by his bodyguards. While he is home, they sit at the cars 24/7, looking after them. The apartment is in the penthouse, costing around 18 million rand. Interestingly, his neighbor is one of ministers, our ex-ministers, Fikile Mbalula.
Oh, goodness me.
Now, isn't that interesting? Maybe this explains the video circulating of police escorting their pastor's motorcade to church. However, Fikile moved out rather suddenly last year. No idea why. Well, it could have to do with the fact that he was demoted from being a minister and his pipeline to the money ran out. What is
Ben likes this.
While it's a funny story, spare a thought for all the gullible but poor, hard-working people who get their cash hoovered up by these religious con men. The wealth that they pull in from the poorest of the poor is unimaginable, and it's tax-free. Suggestion: anyone who wants to go into investigative journalism, let Sia get his Isabel Jones on and pop in at this guy's church on Sunday. It would be interesting. Keep up the good show, Adrian. I don't want to put Sia in danger.
Yeah,
either.
I don't want to get any voodoo.
Because, you know, Sia would not be able to go undercover. He'd be too fabulous. People would notice him.
I was already thinking about wearing my church hat.
Yeah.
You see? Massive.
A church hat.
Yeah. You couldn't.
It's a huge, wide-brimmed hat.
Sia has never been undercover in his life. Sure. He throws those covers right off.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes he'll wear his dressing gown, and that's about as much cover as he's going to have.
A silk dressing gown. But Adrian, you can holler at me if you have one of your other neighbors who's rather an upstanding citizen. Yeah.
No, I'm sure there is. Okay, so listen, a couple of things we've got to get to. One video that is going viral. I got it on Tuesday this week, I think, and people are talking about it. The Achfok Marlies video.
I sent it this morning on the group. It was the first time I saw it.
It's all right. Don't be embarrassed. Some people take a bit longer.
Yeah.
Your sources are not as good as mine, but that's okay. So, Achfok Marlies is this girl on a bicycle, right?
Yes.
And she's on a bicycle there's nothing. She's on a rugby field. There's nothing there. She could ride around the bicycle for hours and never crash into anything.
Someone's filming her with their phone.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this is set up or not, but Marlies just goes straight into the rugby posts. Here's the sound.
I mean, she had the whole field.
Yeah. She's riding around on her bike. There's the rugby post and...
My fuck, Marlies.
The fact that she's riding around the field shows that she's just learned how to ride a bike. Because who does that? Who rides a bike on a field?
So that's how I'm interpreting it. That it's probably a mom or something.
Just do it one more time, please.
I think it's a mom who's filming her daughter.
But you got to love the clang that the bike makes. Because she's standing quite far away.
And she flies off the bike.
My fuck, Marlies.
And she's like making huge steps to try and get to her quickly as she films. Oh gosh! Well, I mean, it's even in the news, the fact that this video has got people in stitches. Not so much because of the cyclist's lack of coordination, but mostly owing to the epic fail reaction. Oh, gosh.
Sia loves this.
So, I mean.
So much. My fuck, man.
It's so pure. Just so pure.
And it's now becoming a new Afrikaans catchphrase to express irritation or exasperation.
My fuck, my release.
It is pretty ridiculous. I like that.
Very nice.
All right, very good.
Okay, so who's on The Bachelor? Who's off The Bachelor? Over to you, Sia.
All right, Sia, let's go through
it. Episode 3 last night.
Ah, let's talk about that. Okay, so it started off, I've lost count with how many girls are still in the...
Started with 24. We've now lost 9.
Sorry, 16 girls were left originally, all right. And then last night we had the first private date or one-on-one date that Lee himself picked. And he picked, I'll get to that later. He picked Edith. Edith is the lawyer who in the first episode was in that glittery jumpsuit.
Yes, the sequency one.
Well, now,
yes.
Looking at Bachelor History, the US version, whoever he picks for the first date, he either really likes or he wants to get rid of quickly. So
critical analysis here from bitter divorcee Leanne Moore. Yeah. Going on the stats, what I have surmised so far.
She's an expert. You know how they pull up? You've watched enough sports TV, Ben. They get a panel together and go, well, course. I think the strategy that he's trying to get here, Nas, is that he's trying to get the oak off the field so that he can bring on a substitute player.
Sorry.
That's kind of, sorry, Leanne, you don't speak sport, but that was pretty much what you were trying to say for The Bachelor.
Okay.
All right.
Go on, Sia.
So Edith and Lee went on this date.
Yeah.
And they went to Hardee's. They went up a cable car.
Oh,
they had,
mooi man.
Yeah, they were overlooking the dam.
Oh, fuck my release.
Oh, fuck my release. They did have like tea and rusks as well there.
That's my neck of the woods. That's where I live.
The kind of date I want to be taken on.
Yeah.
Then they ended up going strawberry picking as well, and I just got hay fever at the thought, and I was going all scratchy, like, I don't know what Lee's version of romantic is, because
strawberry picking.
Yeah, all of those plants are prickly and itchy.
Cojos and things in there.
Right, but anyway, let's overlook that, because they were looking into each other's eyes. Then they ended up having a picnic, and that's where they had a bit of like a, that wasn't a smooch, that wasn't a proper kiss, it was just like a prolonged peck on the lips, but that was Edith and Lee.
Ooh.
Edith as well then went back to the house, drummed up everything with the hype of the date, but all the girls were half jealous, half not. The rest of the contestants,
if you're the girl who gets back, don't you want them all to be jealous?
Yeah, you do. That's why they always ham it up when they come back. Then there was a challenge based in water. There was
when he fainted at the podium. I'm having a challenge. So what's the challenge?
It was an obstacle course in water. They had to like jump up and down these different slides, inflatable slides.
These poor women in water.
Look,
at a time where they were so cold and they were still in the water.
He just wants to see them naked.
And then there is a bit of that corniness because there was one girl who was struggling up one of the slides and was getting tired in the water. And Lee, by the way, he's a fantastic swimmer. Lee just dove straight into that water and like went and rescued the girl. It was, you know, the damsel in distress. I sort of rolled my eyes at that. But at the end of the day, I think her name was Kelly or Kerry who won that challenge. I can't remember.
Okay.
But winning the challenge then led her to have a one-on-one date with Lee. And the... what was that? Baywatch.
Yeah.
Duh.
I'm just imagining the scenario that you've sketched for us here. All right. So carry on. On with your story.
Yes. So the two of them got to spend time alone on their date.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they came back. And at the rose ceremony, I actually made a note of this even yesterday.
Has there been lots of kissing?
They actually had a big proper
smooch,
hey? So at their private date, they had a braai. It was very like, you know, lacquer, eh? The girl decided, I wish I remember her name now. The girl herself decided to do the braaiing and Lee did the salad.
Edith.
No. This is the winner of the challenge. She's blonde and she's the owner of the boutique agency. That's what she says. I think she's 27 or 28.
Is that Kerry?
I think that might sound familiar. And
it's hard to tell these girls apart.
Is it Kim?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to tell.
I'll have to look over the list again just to remember her name. But yeah, they had a bride together. They had their own little date going on. I thought it was neither
here nor there. Okay, so hang on a second. So Edith and Lee did not have a smooch.
They had a prolonged kiss. A prolonged peck. That's how I would define it. It really was uneventful. And then Edith, actually, when this girl went back to the house, oh, this is the juiciness. When this girl came back to the house, and because she only spent, like, you know, just it was dinner with Lee, whereas Edith spent the whole day, cable con, picking strawberries and the picnic. Sure. And this girl comes back and said, oh, yeah, we smooched. And by the way, it was a smooch with tongue because they were sitting on a chair together. Her legs over Lee's entire body.
That's Kim then. Kim Gray.
Yes, it was Kim. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a whole smoocheroo of note. Yeah. And so Edith was very, very jealous over that. And then, like, Kim got very jealous at the rose-giving ceremonies. Oh, by the way, sorry, I'm all over the place. Edith actually got a rose at her one-on-one date, but Kim didn't get a rose, so that's a bit of a sign. So Kim was already jealous at the rose-giving ceremony.
He was like, you know, headed and acquitted in the second date.
See, like, what is going on? So Kim was then jealous at the rose-giving ceremony because she was like, excuse me, I had a connection with Lee at our date, and I don't understand why he could walk into the house and greet every other girl except me. I think we have a connection, so he must come and greet me. Lee didn't care about that at all. And then ultimately, spoiler alert, if you are watching and you don't want to know, three girls were eliminated last night.
Let's go. This is what we were waiting for. Yeah.
It was. Let's look at the list as well that we had, that Ben drew up. Tenji was eliminated.
Oh, Tenji's got, so Leanne loses a contestant.
I know, it's a big blow.
Yes, excuse Leanne. And Tenji was actually the girl who almost fainted last night as well at the rose giving ceremony. So this is the second girl to faint at the ceremony.
Well, Willy's Mkunu started all this.
Is it like a very badly ventilated room they get put in?
They're outside.
And Tenji's like a sports coach or sports something. Yeah. Like, can't you use some sports tactic to breathe and make sure you don't pass out? But this is the funny thing. And this is when I thought, oh, shame, Tenji, your tactic isn't working. They're all standing there waiting for Lee to announce names. And she starts shaking a bit and her legs give in on her. And Lee just calmly, without saying anything, walks up to her, pulls her up, takes her to a couch. Tenji just like lies down on the couch like Sleeping Beauty. Lee says a couple of things and just stands up and leaves her. No, are you okay?
Get on
no
with it,
let's kiss. And no sympathy rose as well. So,
she's out in her ass.
Tenji,
that means
while she was passed out on the couch.
So Tenji gone.
That means Leanne is left with Michelle, R, America, and Natasha.
Still a good crop of people. Yeah. Then Aniline was also limited last night.
Yeah, no, she's eliminated. She's in your team, so she's gone.
I didn't have any...
No high hopes in Aniline.
Yeah, I really didn't. I didn't have any faith. And then Kerry was also the third girl to be eliminated.
Ah, Kerry, 30, born and bred in Joburg. And she was one of yours, Gareth.
Oh, no.
So, Sia, that means you're left with Chanel, Jacqueline, Michelle DP, and Nontombi. And Gareth, you're left now with just Jozon, Gina, and Jenna.
Still all the jizzes.
I've still got some good ones.
Still got all your jizzes.
I've got some good ones.
I have no faith in my ladies.
Can I just point out that I was the favorite going into this, and I'm still unscathed. I still have five contestants, and I've got three of them have been on dates with Lee.
Okay, you're the front runner.
I've got Kelly,
I think
Kim,
you rigged it.
Bali, yeah. Edith, and Shelley.
I will have to
getting pretty good right now.
Say with Edith and Lee's dates, though, I even had to believe in it for a while because there was a level of a genuine something brewing between them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you know people are going to be skeptical, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if Lee's ever had a black girlfriend. I don't know if Edith's ever had a white boyfriend. And
do
these
you know
things,
what?
We can pretend they don't make a difference, but people think about them.
They actually brought that up during their date. And
good.
I thought, okay.
Good for
you
them.
You know what? They're being real. They're just calling it like it is. And Edith admitted that she's dated outside the color lines, and that's never been a thing that's important to her, and so her family wouldn't mind it at all. And the two of them bonded over their broken family situations.
He's still playing that card hard, huh?
So when I mentioned it at first, you thought I was being insensitive.
All right, but you were being insensitive.
With all these people fainting, I think we've got to give credit. I know it's no politics Friday, and this isn't political, but the KwaZulu-Natal Premier fainted at the podium. I don't know if you saw this, Ben, Leanne, or anybody else who might have missed yesterday's burning platform, but here it is. It's quite interesting stuff. And here he is, Willis Mkunu.
The leader of government business to continue on my behalf. I have a challenge. Thank you.
He has a challenge, which means he can feel the fainting coming on.
It's coming on.
Thank you, Speaker.
And then he stands there at the podium. And he's kind of...
with this challenge.
He shakes a little bit. You'll see he starts to shake a little bit. And then he falls down.
But someone caught him.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Gosh, looks like he's having a stroke.
And there's a very ugly woman in a very bad wig next to him.
Yeah, that could be a stroke. That's not... I don't think that's a fake. No,
it looks like a stroke, but he was okay. They
well, and then the audience erupts in prayer.
But I think what we've got to do from now on is we've got to say... I'm having a challenge, or yes. I have a challenge. Whenever you feel like, you know, if I'm late in the mornings, or if Ben's bike isn't working, or if Leanne says that she can't get her sleeping Jesus to function properly.
I'm having a challenge.
I'm having a challenge, okay.
Yeah. Yes. So from now on, that's the language we will use.
Right, got
in
it.
In honor of Willis Mkunu. Yes. And if it doesn't work out and nobody accepts that as your excuse or your explanation, you can go, ah, fuck Marilise.
Yes. Right, I actually do think Willis took it from Wendy Williams.
What did Wendy Williams say again?
Remember Wendy Williams fainted on live television?
Yes.
And that was for Halloween last year, I think. Yes. Yeah.
But did she say anything before she fainted?
She
just collapsed.
Her brain spazzed out. She was trying to come up with a sentence, and she was just mumbling all over herself. Wendy has actually, on a bit of a side note, Wendy has had a bad spat with her health over the last little while. In December, and this is talk show host Wendy Williams, she calls herself a capital P because she has large boobs and a flat butt. So her silhouette looks like a capital P.
Excellent.
Yes. And she just gossips all the time on the show.
She's a horrible woman.
Yeah.
She really is.
She was on her show, which is live in December, and she was high on medication. So she did the full hour just slurring over her words to the point where her bosses actually called her in and said, Wendy, you can't do this anymore. And she's been off her show ever since, and she's coming back on the 4th of March, which is this coming Monday. Random piece of information for any of the Wendy watchers.
Well, speaking of random pieces of information, I'd like to say happy birthday to somebody very, very special today. Huh?
1st of March?
I was just thinking, is it the 25th of December? Is it Jesus?
1st of March. Today is the periodic table's 150th birthday.
It's only 150 years old. Yeah. It's young.
The periodic table
happy
of elements.
Birthday, P-Dog.
Yes, you may scoff at this, Sia.
No.
But the periodic table contains all of the 120, 150 odd elements that make up all of nature, all of matter, all of the universe.
And it was the source of all of my anxiety in high school.
It's probably closer to 200 now, because they keep discovering new elements.
Oh,
they keep adding new ones. Well, what they do is they use that Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, and they just bombard these already large elements with more neutrons and protons, creating even larger elements.
I'm so glad someone else gets to do this.
And they're all so unstable, these bigger ones. But all of these things from, look around you, all right? You're in a car, it's made of aluminium and of steel and of iron and...
Rubber
and all of these things. Everything around you, your own body is a collection of hydrocarbons and some complicated...
halogens.
Phospholipids and proteins and all kinds of, but everything boils down. If you take everything in the universe from the stars to the space in between, it's all made of stuff on the periodic table. So that periodic table turns 150. It was put together by Dmitry Mendeleev.
Are you having a challenge with that?
I'm having a challenge. I'm having a challenge.
That's very good.
So happy birthday to my dear friend, the periodic table.
Oh.
I know that's super geeky, But I also want to just pass on my thanks to Cecilia, who reminded me about the periodic table
Cecilia.
Being added 50 years old.
Oh, Cecilia, you're breaking my heart.
Sorry,
I won't go down that road.
Enough of the cheese. All right, and then Kelly says, are you playing the interview with the doctor today? I've been looking forward to it since you guys mentioned it. Very interested hearing about that microdosing stuff.
We'll it's next week.
Next
Is
week.
That Kelly from The Bachelor?
Calm your tits, Kelly from The Bachelor.
So then we have, Gareth. We have to make an executive decision. Do we want to get some of the ladies in here as well?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Okay.
Gareth, stop it. Don't make fun of a sick old man. I didn't know Willie Mtunu before the incident. I thought Zikalala was the main ANC guy in KZN. No, you need to pay attention. His name is Willie's. Willie Mtunu. And then Matthew says, I almost fell asleep with that song of Ben's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when Ben
Sometimes
chooses.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Whatever.
Pew. Pew, pew.
Greg says, Ben, Casio is that kind of stuff you have unprotected sex to when you're a bit tipsy.
Sure. Whatever okay. floats your boat.
The pasta humor continues, says someone else. Pasta Mboro. This is from Carmen, the Zimbabwean, who says, I loved Pasta Mboro. I wish he would come back. And by the way, what does Mboro mean in Shona? This is what Carmen in Zimbabwe says. Penis. Mboro oh. in Shona. So that's why Carmen says Mboro's funny. All right. Over to you, Ben. What's in the news that you want to talk
Oprah
about?
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey yeah. of the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Yes.
And founder of the New Earth Church.
Well, she's
is the
gonna,
Antichrist, that one?
She is basically going to be digging up some old dirt on Michael Jackson.
Oh no, Oprah.
Oprah, we all know he was misguided and he might have interfered with some kids.
Oh, Oprah.
You gotta keep bringing it back.
Listen, all people and nations.
Yes.
The Antichrist has come.
That's right.
Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah Winfrey Show and founder of the New Earth Church is the Antichrist.
That's right. So what does she want to do?
So there's a special called After Neverland. So she's basically having a...
The new Michael Jackson... it's based on the new Michael Jackson documentary.
Yeah, so she's actually having a Q&A with Wade Robson and James Safechuck.
They were the kids who were supposedly fondled by Michael.
And Oprah's going to then open these wounds.
Oh, she's evil to do this.
I mean, Oprah, come on.
So evil, Sia, come on. Even you as an Oprah fan.
We all know Michael had some issues. He's gone now. I think the kids all got paid off. What else must come out of this?
Yeah, I think
I'm against this.
Oh, there's someone on the line.
I'm very much against this. I do not like this. I thought I would call in. My name is Anonymous. I would like for Oprah Winfrey to please stop this harassment of the late, great Michael Jackson.
Oh, Anonymous.
Sounds fair.
I would like to say that these people cannot be believed. I paid them a lot of money to shut up. I mean, Michael Jackson settled with them out of court. I didn't mean that. Just, can we edit that out? Okay, it's live. Oh, no problem. So, I don't want this Wade Robson to be taken seriously because I have suffered. I mean, Michael Jackson has suffered long enough. Oh. I'm anonymous, of course. I don't know Michael Jackson personally.
Okay.
But I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. Thank you.
Leave Michael Jackson alone.
Leave him alone.
That sounds fair.
Anonymous, what would you like to say to Oprah?
Have you seen my childhood? You don't understand how hard it is. I have had a life. I did not have a childhood. My father, Joseph, Michael Jackson's father, Joseph, made him carry the bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard and build them up into a pile and then carry them all the way back again. And when they made me go into the studio to record, the studio to record that song, Man in the Mirror, they made him do it so many times. Oh. He had to cry and cry and cry before he could get the perfect take. Berry Gordy and Joseph Jackson, they humiliated and tormented Michael for a long time.
Oh,
and
Anonymous.
He just suffered so much, and Oprah is cruel to do this. I thought, Oprah, you were my friend. I'm sorry. I thought Oprah was Michael's friend.
Yes. Yes.
It's a lot to take.
Oh, you are a bitch. Oh. I'm going to say it because I don't have anyone to report to on this side. And I mean, as a fan of Michael Jackson, I think Oprah's digging up old, unnecessary skeletons and putting them out in the public and ruining someone's reputation. And he is not here to defend himself. I mean, I have nothing. I gotta go.
Oh, wow.
Good Lord. It's interesting that that anonymous raised at the end, because Jackie Jackson is saying Michael's not here to defend himself, so this is a bit of a low blow. But what makes this even more Oprah-esque is that this entire thing is going to be recorded in front of an audience of survivors of sexual abuse.
Oh, so they're assuming that these two and their stories figure into that. So Oprah, along with everyone else, is saying, well, Michael must have paid them off because they've been sexually abused.
Well, you don't... Okay.
That was settled...
I will sound biased trying to defend court. Oprah.
Yeah, you're going to sound so
But
biased.
Screw it, let me go ahead.
This all forms part of Oprah's Super Soul Conversations podcast.
We don't know what the tone of the interview will be. She might be very objective and open-minded, but I will have to say, with the whole... What's the documentary called itself? Finding Neverland.
Oprah's Witch Hunt.
No. I don't understand the...
Witch Hunts with Oprah.
I don't understand how we can take this so seriously, because it's these two people against Michael Jackson, and he's not here, rightfully, as one of the Jacksons, to defend
Witch
himself.
Hunts with Oprah.
No. Not that.
It's the Crucible by Oprah.
And then call me a horrible person, but I still do raise my eyebrow at one of...
Let me ask someone who knows.
Who's that?
Jane Manachi.
Jane would know
about
this.
Mum Jane, can you just tell me, do you think Michael Jackson abused children? I mean, you've been a fan of Michael Jackson like me for a long, long time. Do you think, Jane, that Michael Jackson was a child abuser?
Not at all.
Exactly. It's wrong of Oprah to be going after him when he's dead.
Jesus.
Oh.
That's do you have anything?
She just dropped the mic and walked.
Do you have anything to say to Oprah Winfrey? This hideous...
Actually, I don't want to say anything about Oprah Winfrey because somebody next to you is going to be angry with me the whole day.
Exactly.
So I don't want to mention anything about Oprah Winfrey because there's a son inside the studio.
That is her son.
Glad you do understand that.
All right, Mom Jane, everything all right?
Everything is all right. Happy Friday, everyone.
Did you catch that builder who stole your money? He was meant to build your house in Limpopo. What happened?
I don't want to cry because that thing just made me not sleep the whole night, actually, when I think about that guy.
Explain to everybody, because you had cash money and you gave it to this guy and you said, you're going to finish my house.
Yeah.
And he's a builder.
Yeah.
And he did half the work and then disappeared.
And it was practice the same name with me.
So he's also a Malachi.
He's also Malachi. And it's like, he was sound like an old guy, actually, at the time I was giving him, like, all my money. And he didn't even finish my work. And he just ran away with my money.
You can't.
Do you remember, Jane and I called him from my office the other day to try and, you know, we were going to try some strong-arm tactics. Okay. I was going to threaten him a little bit. And then he just put the phone down on me.
You know, Papaji, even today the phone is still off. Can you believe that my mom went to her house like several times? He moved out. He's no longer staying there.
So he just took your money and ran?
He took my money and ran away.
He's a con man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jane. This stuff really...
I think maybe I'm not the first one.
He's probably he's a con man like Donald Trump.
But at least you have Oprah to console you and make you feel better.
I think maybe I have Oprah's son to console me.
Oh, okay, darling. Yeah.
Very good. But how do you feel about your mother going on a witch hunt, Sia? It's horrible. I agree with Ben. Witch hunt.
Well, you look at the documentary. So the documentary has these two guys who are really spearheading and telling their own story of and the experiences of what happened while they were at Neverland. One of the dudes, though, testified in the Michael Jackson trial back in 2005 saying that none of this ever happened and Michael is an amazing person.
So if he changes his story now, what is he? Is he a liar?
But
we'll have to see.
No, the documentary is like 4 hours long.
Okay, I'm not going to watch it. So you can give us
it's
a
like
summary.
It's like 3 or 4 hours long. Yeah.
I love Michael Jackson, but I'm not that interested in his sexual shenanigans. If you give me a 4-hour documentary on how he wrote Billie Jean, I might watch it. But otherwise, I'm not that interested.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about some other sleazy people? Case in point, R. Kelly.
Oh. God, when you say R. Kelly now, I get the chills. He's in the same category as Bill Cosby and that Anthony Weiner from New York. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
Weinstein.
All these Harvey Weinstein, these gross people who force themselves onto other people who haven't asked for it. Sometimes they're illegal minors in the case of R. Kelly. He's just these gross people. What is the latest on R. Kelly?
Well, R. Kelly was released from jail a couple of days ago.
Why?
With bail?
Yes. Oh,
okay. Where did he get that money from?
Ben, glad you asked.
Oprah. Because I bet it was her. Oprah came round anonymously.
R. Kelly, hi. Oh, hi, Oprah. I'm going to bail you out, but then you've got to do my witch hunt show.
Yeah, you've got to be on witch hunts with Oprah. What's that? Oh, no. It's just an open, fair discussion in front of an audience of people who've been
just an audience of your former victims.
The story just is so...
Oprah. She's totally cooking this up.
Twisted. Brace yourself. A couple of days ago, as we were discussing it, I pointed out that R. Kelly has a lot of financial issues.
Yeah, he's in the hole.
Money's tied up in the wrong places. He owes child support. He owns...
Too tight to mention.
Yeah?
Go on. Oprah good.
And so you wonder where he ended up getting $100,000 minimum to pay off his bond in jail. Mm-hmm. It is from a crazy fan.
What?
I say crazy myself, but this fan is just so in love with R. Kelly.
Well, he better go around.
Should he raise the money? Oh,
He better be visiting her first thing he gets out of jail. Hey, honey, I'm here to repay the debt. Mm. Open up.
Here's the kicker.
Got some lovin'.
They only, R. Kelly and the fan, only met 5 months ago on a cruise ship somewhere.
Beautiful.
The fan was so taken by R. Kelly. They say they were able to have so many conversations while they were on this cruise. And she's so in love with him that she thinks R. Kelly deserves his own fair chance at justice. So she decided to pay $100,000 for R. Kelly.
That's
By
beautiful.
The way, this fan is 47 years old and she's a daycare worker.
How did she get so much money?
The plot thickens even more. And this is why I call her crazy. 47-year-old, what's her name?
47.
Valencia.
That's way past R. Kelly's dating age.
Yeah, he's at least 30 years junior. That's who he's usually interested in.
Half plus 7 rule doesn't apply. Carry on.
So Valencia Love is a daycare worker, and once had a child who died wrongfully in hospital back in 2017. So Valencia took the hospital to court and was able to get a settlement of $1.1 million.
Mm. So she's wasting that on R. Kelly.
And took that money and basically has now given it to R. Kelly.
That's so bad.
How twisted. And this still just shows how no matter
technically
love the guy.
She's posting bail on him, which means she can get that money back as long as he doesn't break his bail conditions. But he better be going around there to show his love. Wouldn't you feel you owed it to her?
Firstly, excuse the pun because her surname is Love. But secondly, I don't want R. Kelly to show
me. She probably paid it without first telling him, and then he doesn't have a choice in the matter. But... I mean, he could if she told him before, he could have at least said no.
No, but he wouldn't have said no. He has no money himself. He's happy to be free. Would you rather stay in jail?
Yeah, he'll take any money.
Yeah, there's no.
Because as well, he's pleaded not guilty in all of this.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's almost as exciting as the periodic table turning
100. Yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
So do you drink bottled water or you know, tap water? Do you like it extra cold?
Yes.
Or do you like it at room temperature? Because I like it cold.
Burns more calories when it's cold.
I have sensitive teeth, so I need room temperature.
Mm. Well,
so what's the story?
These are the facts.
Yeah, chills her wine.
Yeah, wherever I'm reading the words water here, just take it as wine.
Okay.
So room temperature water can make you less thirsty. So when you're feeling really thirsty and you drink really cold water, it can actually... be less beneficial. Mm. So if the water's a little bit more warm, that's a good thing. Cold water, however, is beneficial after a workout, and that's obviously because it helps to cool your core body temperature. Room temperature water is good for digestion.
Yes. Mm.
Because it actually congeals the fats in the food and makes, well, it decongeals them, I suppose.
Cold?
No, room temperature. Because very cold is going to make the fat
solidify.
So it's that's good for while you're eating or just after you've eaten. Cold water can give you a headache, and yes, it also hurts your teeth. Room temperature water, however, combats constipation. Helps move the stools along, you know.
Room temperature.
Yes, as opposed to cold. cold water can stuff up your sinuses. You can actually get quite sinusy if you drink freezing cold water.
Okay.
Room temperature water boosts metabolism. So that's interesting, Ben, that you say cold water burns more calories, but room temperature water boosts metabolism.
So far, room temperature water is winning.
That's it. And so if you total the two, room temperature water is winning. And apparently it's a big thing in China. Hardly anyone in China drinks very cold water.
Well, they must know.
Yeah.
They got to know.
They take a tip from them.
Right. Okay, so
that's a horribly sexually stereotype.
I didn't know where that was going for a moment.
Take a tip from them.
Oh.
Yes, Leanne, they've been dogged by small penises for long enough. They don't need your snide remarks too.
Sia's got a story about a tip, though, I think.
Have you? What's your tip, Sia?
He does. No.
What's your tip?
What?
People are so sick.
What? No, well, I just heard about the delivery guy who was so pissed off at a bad tip that he got that he was delivering salsa for a customer. This is who tipped him badly, that he just dipped his testicles in the salsa.
It must have been exciting because there's a bit of chili in there, right?
I said, well, that's what you get for tipping me badly.
Yeah, this is why you must never treat waiters or people who have anything to do with your food. You must never treat them badly. And you must always give them a nice tip if your food is terrific. And you know what? Don't upset them. I see people abusing waiters and waitresses. First of all, it's just very rude. They are not beneath you just because they're serving you. They could be doing this as a job. They might have a life that you wish you had.
And also, if your food's bad, it's not their fault.
No. Treat them with respect. Just say to them, hey, listen, I don't want to cause a scene, but this, you know, this isn't exactly what I wanted or whatever. But I see people shouting.
No, it's terrible. I was on a blind date once, and the guy was shouting at the waiter. Whoa,
it's horrible.
Instant turn off.
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Well, what works against this guy, his name is Howard Matthew Webb, and he's 31 years old.
How do we know about this, by the way?
Because there's a video. He really shot himself in the foot. Because what if, in my mind, this is how I pictured working. Someone calls, places an order, and probably then makes a payment, which is only 89 cents more than the order itself. And Howard had to drive 30 minutes to deliver this food, and that's when he dipped his testicles in the salsa. What if
hot tamales. You know,
what if he was going to rock up at the house and then he would be tipped even more? But the fact that he did this and also someone filmed it in the car has now, like, the video is online, it's on the web, and he's been charged. By the way, I've never heard of this charge before. He was arrested and charged with adulteration of food.
Yes.
That's quite something.
Wow. That is a thing.
To kind of put this in perspective, what's worse, this guy or the Mr. D guy masturbating at the gate?
The Mr. D
Howard
guy
is worse, in my opinion.
Really?
You have to eat that salsa. At least with the Mr. D guy, you can just close the door and, you know, let that freak do what he's doing outside and call the cops to deal with him. Well, he was charged with adulteration of food and he remained in jail for a little bit up until he paid $45,000 in bail. But what's the definition of adulteration of food?
Sexualizing. I don't know.
No, to adulterate something is to make it impure.
Oh, there you go.
To... there's a better word
like
for it.
Like contaminate.
Yeah, to just ruin it.
It's basically, it means to dip your balls in salsa.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know? I mean, what else can you say, really? It's just the most horrible thing that could happen to someone. I mean, the only appropriate response really is...
Fuck my release.
Fuck my release.
Oh, yeah.
Shame. Shem. All right, there are some other stories that we need to pay attention to this morning. Don't forget, George Meany's popping by in a little while. He's got some news from the world of motoring for us. But would you like to grow new brain cells as an adult?
Sure.
Because it used to be believed that you couldn't. You were born with a certain number of brain cells, and your brain reached its maximum capacity in terms of nerve
cell bodies somewhere around 3 or 4 years old, and then you would lose things from there on. You would lose brain cells, and you wouldn't be able to regenerate them. But that's nonsense.
Yeah. We believe that a person would stop growing brain cells by the age of 21.
Oh, okay.
And so we just kind of gave up on it after that and thought, well, this is how clever I am now. This is how clever I'm going to be forever.
This is how clever I am.
But the truth is, you can get cleverer. You can grow new brain cells as an adult. It's called neurogenesis.
Yeah. Yes.
And how you do it is mainly by what you eat.
Yeah.
Okay. So eating, well, and what you don't eat. So firstly, cut out fat and sugar. This we know. Okay. Include vitamins E, C, B12, B2, and B9.
You'll have to write that down.
E, C, and the Bs.
Uh-huh.
Eat dark leafy greens.
Yes.
Grapes, berries.
So, I mean, this isn't like you take a pill. You have to just eat a whole bunch of stuff.
Not eat a bunch of stuff. Eat a bunch of stuff. And let's just finish with the eating of things. Eat some nuts, not ones that have been dipped in salsa.
All right. So
some walnuts, Brazil nuts, flaxseed, and chia seeds, grape seed, and holy basil extracts.
I've never seen holy basil extract.
I don't know. I think they use it in churches.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Start each day with a morning juice of turmeric and ginger roots.
Good Lord.
Have a smoothie with berries, greens, banana, and lion's mane powder.
This is like the full day's work just to get your one brain cell to grow. Yeah?
Yeah, so far that's only grown half a brain cell. Here's the rest.
And George is taking notes furiously here, and he can't even keep up.
Eat a piece of dark chocolate each day.
I got out of my car, so I missed what this is about.
It's growing new brain cells.
You grow a new brain cell.
As an
adult.
Okay. This is called plasticity, right?
No, neurogenesis.
Neuroplasticity or neurogenesis.
Neurogenesis.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Practice intermittent fasting. Meditate daily. Exercise each day for 30 minutes.
Well, those last two I do.
And sleep. Restorative sleep.
Always comes back
critical
to sleep.
For the brain health.
Yes, that is a good point. The sleep is not to be messed with.
Yeah.
But that's a long list, hey?
It is.
My fuck, my release.
Yeah, it
is. Oh, really?
I feel the same way.
It's a lot. This biome.
Just try and do some of the time.
There's something about Afrikaans swearing.
Oh, that's the best. All right, so try to remember all of those things in Leanne's long list.
But just, you don't have to do them all.
Meditation, turmeric, lion's mane, bane, herb.
Sleep.
Holy basil water.
What are you going to do with the lion's
holy
mane?
Holy basil.
I mean, this is like eye of Newton, toe of frogs.
It is
not
like
real
that.
Wool of bat and tongue of dog. Do you remember that from Macbeth?
Yeah,
is it from Macbeth or is it from one of the others?
No, it's Macbeth.
When shall we three meet again in thunder, lightning, or in rain?
Mm.
The three witches from Macbeth. They throw all this shit into a pot and then they make a
then they grow potion. Brain cells.
Yeah. Who knew that was the key? Who knew that those witches from Macbeth were into neurogenesis?
Yeah.
Way ahead of their time. I always say, treat the witches with respect. Like I was saying about the waiters. Witches also. You never know when they could
witches
help.
Witches and waiters.
All right, so George is here. Let's skip, hop, and jump right over to where George is and find out what he has for us this morning.
Morning, Gareth.
Morning.
You know, the Powerball was won, I think, last week.
Yeah, some guy won
232 million rands.
Yeah, but it took him a long time to admit
him.
That it was them.
It's a him.
It's a him?
Yeah, it's a him.
And he's had
what his name is?
No.
He's had a lifelong struggle with money, and he's worked hard to put his kids through school and all of that. I think he was a very worthy winner.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. He was a little bit, you know, down and out and battled to put his kids through school, like you say.
Fuck my release.
Shame.
Worthy winner, I think. He said when asked what is he going to do with the money, his first answer was put my kids through school. He could probably do that with 1 month's interest.
Yeah.
So good on him.
You know what? I'm not going to be one of those people who's jealous of someone else's happiness. And even though I bought a ticket and I thought that I should have won, I'm not going to be jealous.
Even though you're not bitter.
And I'm not bitter at all. I hope this person is managing their money properly, and I hope that they keep it and they make it last and they make it grow. Because a lot of these lotto winners, especially the ones who are bad with money, before they win the lotto end up being bad with money after the lotto.
Mm. Well, statistically, isn't that the case? Most of these lotto winners, people that come into money very fast, lose it very, very quickly as well. Mm. Isn't that? I think they did a computer simulation and redistributed the wealth of the world evenly amongst the entire population. And within a decade, it was concentrated back into 10% of the hands.
It's called the Pareto Principle. P-A-R-E-T-O. Look it up.
Pareto.
Pareto. I use that every day of my life. Anyway, what he could do with this $232 million, though, is buy a McLaren F1 for $200 million.
Okay.
Oh, no.
That would be it.
That would be all of his money.
Eh? Well, he'd have $32 million left, but you could buy a McLaren F1 for $200 million.
$32 million could buy your fancy house to park that McLaren in.
So, yes. Yeah, why would you buy this car for that much?
Well, it's regarded as the greatest supercar ever built. V12 powered.
But then one pothole.
Then you bugger. Well, he's South African, so maybe McLaren F1 isn't it. And maybe you should buy a Koenigsegg.
For how much?
So Koenigsegg goes for about 60 million. He might be able to buy a fleet.
Where are Koenigseggs from?
No, it's Koenigsegg from Sweden.
Sweden,
yes.
You could buy three there.
Yeah, he could.
Well,
he could
why would you buy three? Well, you see, George, this is why you're not the best financial advisor. I hope this person doesn't get in contact with you. I want to just go through Pastor Alf Lukau's cars. He's the guy who resurrected that man from the dead this week. And I just want to ask
miracle
you.
Miracle worker.
Yeah. So here's what he's got in the basement of the building here in Sandton where he lives. He's got a Rolls-Royce Dawn.
My word.
A Bentley Continental Coupe. A Mercedes S600. A Range Rover Vogue. And a Golf 7 GTI, which has bodyguards drive. So that how many cars? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cars. What are they worth? Five cars.
Those five cars, probably in the region of 20 million.
Wow. All of them together?
Together, yeah.
Sure, okay. Yeah. Wow, that's a lot.
Just do a quick math in my head.
That's a lot for... So clearly, he might not be able to actually raise dead people, but he could certainly raise some capital for his cars.
Well, if he could sell them.
I mean, but I'm guessing all those are leased, right? Like he wouldn't...
No, he'd buy them. He'd probably buy them.
Yeah. I mean, like this kind of stuff.
Could be.
Like how easy is it to lease one of those?
It's not difficult to lease them.
But
because
it's a done process.
Though. I was talking to a friend of mine at a bank the other day, and he said, because the banks have to report when a major transaction takes place. They have to report it to SARS.
Yeah.
You know, this is what like dumb tenderpreneurs don't get.
Is that how SARS found me?
Yeah, so that's how they found you. So this one guy went and bought a Bentley on his credit card.
My goodness.
And it went through for like 13 million or whatever it was, cash. Like it just, it goes through and he was like a one-off payment.
Ooh-wee.
And SARS, somewhere in the SARS building, a bell goes off and like someone starts running with papers and then before you know it, you've got a call. Hello. We're from the revenue service. We see you just bought yourself a new Bentley.
Congratulations, yes. But...
Congratulations, we're coming to your house to do a lifestyle audit.
Exactly. But you know what? This Mr. Lotto winner could have also bought a Ferrari 250 GTO 1962 model for 232 million rand.
Now, that sounds much more reasonable.
Sure.
All right. Why would you want that one?
Well, because it's a classic 1962 Ferrari GTO.
George, if I wanted to buy an old car, refurbish it, and sell it, which are the most prized collectibles in the world at the moment? I mean, just off the top of your head, I don't expect you to have a complete list here, but there must be some cars that if you find even three quarters of it somewhere, it's worth buying the scrap and fixing it up, right?
Yeah, I mean, the classic cars like the Jaguar. You're
talking about the early Jags.
The early Jags. Early Jags. Ford Mustangs.
Oh, yeah.
Those increase in value.
Okay.
The really popular classic cars.
Old Mercs, the old BMs, maybe.
I don't know so much about Mercs and BMs nowadays.
Maybe the old Astons.
Aston Martin had serious gearbox trouble in the early days, so I don't know if those would increase in value. I mean, even the VW Beetle, the old classic VW Beetle, doesn't fetch that much money.
Okay, so you're going to be very careful.
Very picky. Very, okay. Very picky.
So speak to the experts before you go buy a scrap metal.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. Don't buy scrap metal because it might just...
it might be crap metal.
Land you in a hole. Mm. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that McLaren F1 that we were talking about just now, there were only 64 ever built.
Oh, that's
so right. That increases in value all the time.
All right.
All the time.
Okay.
And then a little bit of doom and gloom. The March fuel price increase.
Oh God!
Great.
We're getting a double whammy because the government is introducing a carbon tax.
Uh oh.
Of roughly 9 cents a litre on fuel and 10 cents a litre on diesel.
Oof. Okay. So what happens?
So that goes on the top of the petrol price.
So now more than ever, electric cars.
Exactly.
George, is there a carbon benefit that we can get back, like a rebate?
This is the whole debate.
If you giveth, you should taketh. Yeah. Taketh.
You should give
something
it.
Like that.
Ben read the Bible so long ago, he screwed that up. But basically,
he's having a challenge.
I read it back.
The Lord taketh and the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
I love it so much, I read it back to front the second time.
Okay. Yeah, you wanted to see the ending before the beginning, right?
All right.
And then...
So basically, to finish Ben's point, though, this isn't going to fix the environment. Government will probably use that extra 10 or 9 cents on the petrol price to build another Medupi or Kusile, which will poison the environment more than it already is being poisoned.
Yeah, so there's nothing in this carbon tax that ring fences it. I think that's your point.
It's just another way for them to milk some more money out of people. It's more stealing. That's what it is.
They should ring fence it and make it available for making the country green, to create a charging network.
Yeah. It's never going to happen, not with this government.
Then fuel levies. So the fuel levy tax that we pay is going to increase to 29 cents.
Sure.
And 30 cents per increase by 29 cents and 30 cents per liter in petrol and diesel respectively.
This hits people hard, man.
This is what goes to the road accident fund. You know that insurance that this part goes to the road accident fund. And then to top this all off, toll fee increases will come into effect today.
No, but no one's paying e-toll, so don't worry.
No, this isn't e-toll. This is all tolls.
The ones that stop you where you actually pay.
Yeah. So an average, the AA did an average calculation between Johannesburg and Pretoria, Soweto and Pretoria. Mm-hmm. Last year it would cost you R826.80 to get from Soweto to Pretoria and back per month.
Oh.
And now, now it's going to cost you 864 Rand per month, both ways. And then to top it all off.
That sounds low though. Is that traveling every day?
Maybe weekdays.
Yeah, weekdays.
Like probably. To work.
To work. Right. Yeah. And then on top of all of that, the petrol price increase in March is expected to be as high as 83 cents per litre. So sorry for the doom and gloom.
From home.
Thanks, George.
But mobility is becoming harder.
Yeah. We were having such a happy Friday, and you've gone ahead and ruined it. Sia started
this
morning.
You
have a challenge.
I have a challenge. So Sia had
He
had Beyonce starting his day this morning. He felt good about the world, and now you've come in and just smashed it into pieces.
I'm so sorry.
Petrol price hike. Well, Sia singing Beyonce.
No, actually.
Michael Jackson trying to sing.
Yeah. Shame. That wasn't Michael Jackson. That was an anonymous caller. Oh, yes.
We have to respect our callers.
Exactly. Yes. Keep them anonymous. Mm. Then Australia is introducing emojis on license plates.
Why? Oh, my word.
Why?
Because they want more revenue. So they're trying to make more revenue by allowing drivers to put emojis on their license plates.
I
want three eggplants on mine.
There we go. This is a stupid. This is a stupid tax. Before we get to why CL wants three eggplants on his number plate,
I'm trying to think which one I
have. I think this is brilliant because people will voluntarily, all the egomaniacs can go and get their initials, like Elf Lukau, the pastor who resurrected. He has AL1, AL2, AL3. If you see any of those around town, get your middle finger ready. But if you want a personalized number plate, it should cost a lot. I think that's a great idea.
Mm.
You want your ego all over the roads.
At least it's a tax that gets chosen to be spent.
Yes. It's a stupid tax. I'm all for it. So see, three eggplants. Huh?
Three eggplants. Yeah.
And where would you put the poop emoji?
No. That's not the message I'm trying to convey.
on the back one, George.
Or just eggplant.
Eggplants, no mobile. Friends. Poop in the back.
Yeah.
So what about you, Ben, if you had to put an emoji on your license plate, if you had to?
If I had to?
You had to choose one.
It would be...
Let's say they ran out of all other combinations. They said, Ben, you, if you don't choose an emoji, you can't have a number plate.
Oh, gosh. That strange Asian double hat firework thing.
What?
Because nobody else would have it.
Oh, I see. The one with like the sparkles on the...
No, it's very odd.
Sometimes when you type in party, that one comes.
Yes.
Right.
I know which one you're talking about.
All right, yes. George,
it looks like one of those streamers that you, you pull.
What about you, George?
Which emoji?
Mm. You have to choose one. Leanne, you as well. So yeah. Think about it.
I'll probably have that guy that's putting, throwing his hands up in there.
Like, huh?
Oh, the one going, huh?
Yeah.
All right, you, Leanne?
I'd have a wine glass or the champagne with the cork popping.
I wonder why. All right, I don't know what I'd have. I'd probably go for the hysterical weeping laughter.
I think you do a middle finger.
Not four eggplants. Trumps here.
I want Trumps here.
I think you do a middle finger. Or actually, I could have kiss my peach.
Kiss your peach? Which one is that?
The peach emoji.
You are throwing so much vibe out here pre-weekend.
I'm here for it.
He's going to have a busy weekend. What's the bet he'll come in on Monday exhausted?
Yeah, do you already have your phone number on the back of your car?
Sia's speaking code. Someone's listening to the show this morning. Sia's giving three eggplants.
Get your peach ready. I'm coming.
All right, George, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, let's not.
That's enough for this morning. It's quite enough for Sia, especially. Very good. So George will be back next Friday, and we'll have some more. And you can go and listen to the Auto Central show, which is recorded every second week, and there's a repeat, and you don't have to miss out on any of the important information. I mean, George comes here to hang out with us, and we have a whole lot of fun talking about nonsense. But if you want to hear the real stuff, you've got to listen to Auto Central.
Exactly.
They talk about the real motorhead, petrolhead, important information, not this rubbish about emojis and number plates. Ridiculous.
And what the Powerball winner could buy.
Yeah, and Sia with his eggplants. How ridiculous. All right, here's the important information that you need for today. It may be no Politics Friday, but the ANC is struggling to confirm their final Twitter influencer list ahead of the elections. Reports are that AKA has become too expensive and Fikile Mbalula isn't the draw card he used to be. Many believe they should pool the budget resources and try to secure the Not Barry Roux account. But he is still contracted to the EFF, so, you know, could be you. South Africa's top pastors are getting a little edgy about people questioning their work. With skepticism growing about how they extract their money from the poor, this weekend they're looking to ask for added contributions from their congregations to help them get through this very tough time. So, give, verily, give. Michael Schumacher has reportedly been moved to his house in Mallorca to escape the cold European winter. His wife thought this would be a good idea and is also looking to grow other vegetables in the garden in the process.
Sus.
Was that you outraged?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Leanne. I didn't realize you got outraged so easily. I'm so embarrassed. All right, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We will see you on Monday.
This is CliffCentral.com.